Conventional Monogamy in Trouble. Published 26 January 2011. My current view on monogamy is neither here nor there. I outright reject the conventional notion of soulmates slash one true love slash lifelong monogamy, live happily ever after, etc. I don't think it's impossible, I just think it's exceedingly rare and we're not biologically predisposed to it. But at the same time, I don't buy into the theses presented by books such as Sex at Dawn, which aim to herald in some sort of neo-polygamist utopia, and proclaim that humans are not only not monogamous in any way whatsoever, but that monogamy is purely a social construct for the purpose of controlling the masses, etc. Again, I think science has shown otherwise, namely that monogamy exists in many non-agrarian societies as well as in primates in various forms. After doing extensive reading on the subject, my personal belief is this, that humans, as a species, are socially monogamous and sexually non-monogamous. I believe that our default state is one of choosing a suitable life partner, a mate in which to raise a family and to commit ourselves, as the family unit has evolved to become the most efficient form of building a society. But meanwhile, both men and women, for totally different biological reasons, will still cash in on opportunities to trade up sexually here and there. Life partners aren't necessarily literally partners for life, but they're long-term multi-year or decade commitments that are almost entirely emotionally monogamous. Last night I was on a date with an intelligent and fairly forward-thinking girl when the subject of monogamy came up. She lamented that every guy in her life she's ever called her boyfriend at one point or another cheated on her. I withheld the classic, the common denominator in all of your failed relationships is you, quip here for obvious reasons. Looking at my own relationships with those who I've called my girlfriend at some point, the majority, not all, cheated on me at some point, and in the majority, not all of the relationships, I was non-monogamous at some point myself. Expanding one degree, I realized that most all of my friends are in the same boat. My date made the perceptive comment that it could very well be a generational thing, that expectations for monogamy and commitment are swamped by a surplus of opportunities and available suitors in the information age. It is easier today than at any other time in history to meet new people and flirt with would-be suitors. And with such an inundation of prurient pop culture, sexualized drama bombs, and the incessant focus on superficial attractiveness, it wouldn't be such a stretch to assume that people today are far more likely to wander and cheat than at any other time since the Stone Age. I don't know the science behind it, but I did stumble across a brand new study on monogamy and young relationships this morning. Money quotes below. Jocelyn Warren and Marie Harvey of Oregon State University say a study that involved 434 young heterosexual couples ages 18-25 found in 40% of couples, both married and unmarried, only one partner says the couple agreed to be sexually exclusive, while the other partner said there was no agreement. If the cardinal sin of relationships is a lack of open and honest communication, then 40% of these couples are heading to hell in a handbasket. An emotional hell, of course. That's the surprising part. Here's the unsurprising part. Even among the couples who agreed they had an explicit agreement to be monogamous, almost 30% say at least one partner had sex outside the relationship, the researchers said. Keep in mind, that's 30% of couples who have already agreed that they're monogamous. That doesn't even count the couples where only one person thinks that they're monogamous. In the past, commitment and monogamy, emotions aside, served a clear social function relating to asset allocation. Men were guaranteed that they'd end up raising their own brood, while women were guaranteed someone to support their children. Sure, both sides would occasionally skirt the system if they thought they could get away with it, but by and large, this was the most functional way to manage a large reproducing society with scarce resources. I do believe that human emotions and mythologies of true love and soul mates and all that mess followed this purely utilitarian social purpose. Sure, biological wanings for that hunk down the street were always present, hence the glorification of commitment, sacrifice, chastity, etc. The system wasn't perfect, but it worked. But two things have majorly scrambled that system in the last 50 years, birth control and feminism. The former gives women conscious control over their reproductive functions, hence devaluing the risk of casual sexual involvement and thereby lessening the importance of male commitment. Simply put, contraception has allowed women, for the first time in history, to simply have sex for the sake of sex. That huge risk of their fecundity getting pregnant has been, for the most part, swept away. Likewise, the advent of women not only entering the workforce but quickly becoming equally, if not more, dominant than men, renders the guarantee of male resources impotent and increasingly unnecessary. In fact, not only have the conventional monogamous incentives, security for females, genetic guarantee for males, been shattered, one could say they've been reversed. Because the accumulation of men's resources matter less and less, men will be sought out more for their genetic fitness, a role previously reserved for women. Women, on the other hand, able to make conscious decisions about who raises their offspring with which resources, will be more sought after for their potential security. If you're thinking this could have a lot to do with the recent feminization of Western culture, then I'd agree with you. What's to be seen is how 500,000 years of evolutionary biology and instinctual drives figure into all of this. Already, women complain in epidemic proportions about how weak and fickle men are these days. Men are beginning to complain about how masculine and driven women are. Sure, reproductive incentives are being rearranged, but that doesn't mean our instincts toward attraction are. Obviously, I'm not an evolutionary biologist or a social psychologist. I'm just a guy who reads, thinks, and teaches this stuff way too much. And this is all just a scribbled back-of-napkin theory, so please don't go around treating it as gospel. But my gut feeling is that it's not all a coincidence. I'm starting to think that 100 or 200 years from now, we're going to look back at the invention of birth control as the root of one of the largest social reconfigurations in human history, changes that we're just now starting to truly recognize and grapple with. Feminism and equal rights, equal pay, that was just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. First agriculture, then the plow, now birth control. I think the reverberations are continuing to spread, and not only are men's roles in society morphing and straining, but relationships themselves appear to be evolving as well. And I'd be surprised if they don't look completely different in 50 years than they do now, for better or worse, till death do us part. Note some fantastic discussions erupted in the comments below. Recommended reading. Get your dating life handled. Become an attractive man once and for all, without faking it or pretending to be someone you're not. Models Attract Women Through Honesty has been referred to as the best book in the field by many, and has received 5-star reviews from all over the world.